Welcome to the Hypnodojo, a place of learning for practitioners and students of hypnotherapy. Get your black belt in all things hypnotherapy as we whip into shape your mindset, mastery, and marketing. Relax, enjoy, learn. Here's your sensei, Linda Campbell.
Hi, and welcome to the Hypnodojo. In this episode, I want to talk a bit about the difference between working on trauma and working in trauma. One fear that people have about doing hypnosis is that they're going to have to relive some traumatic experience that they've had. Now, there are some therapists, including some hypnotherapists, who believe that you have to go back into the experience to relieve the charge of emotion that is attached to that experience. I have to say, I am not one of those therapists. I do not believe in taking people back into a traumatic event and having them go through it again. And there's a couple reasons for this. One reason is that, particularly when you're using hypnotherapy, if you take somebody back into a traumatic event, they go back into it as they were at the time. So, for example, if you had some abuse when you were 2 years old and you're now 40, if I take you back into that experience when you were two, you go back into it feeling like that two-year-old. You don't have your adult life experience, your adult's clarity, your distance from it that you have at 40. You go back into it as though you are re-experiencing it right then and there, 2 years old again. I figure if your two-year-old self has been traumatized, why the heck would I want to traumatize that poor child again? So I don't take people back to relive any things. I don't see re-traumatizing somebody as having any therapeutic value. So I don't take a client into their trauma. I'm helping a client work on it, but without going into it and reliving it. So what do I mean by that? Well, trauma can impact on us in many different ways. It shapes our belief system, it informs our identity, it impacts the choices that we make, it causes us to pick up coping mechanisms to deal with whatever the emotions are that are left over from that trauma, and it causes vigilance for that fight-flight response to be turned on. So these are all things that I can work on with a client in hypnosis. We can work on the impact of that experience without going back into the experience itself. So let me explain a little bit more. Trauma shapes our belief system. So the experiences that we have change how we look at ourselves, how we look at other people, how we look at the world. They change our worldview. So for example, a child who experiences sexual trauma may come to believe many things. They might think, I'm not safe, I'm not enough, I'm damaged, I'm at fault. They might think, I can't rely on other people to protect me, I can't trust other people. Other people are dangerous to me. Sex is threatening or dangerous. Touch is threatening or dangerous. Somebody could betray you. There could be all kinds of different beliefs that are formed from one experience, let alone an ongoing number of experiences. And because the subconscious is not logical, once these beliefs are formed, they just kind of stick. And then we take them into our other relationships or our other experiences. So if because of some trauma you've experienced, you believe that you're not safe in the world, you're going to have that feeling of lack of safety in other areas of your life. If as a result of some kind of trauma, you believe that you can't trust other people, you're going to have a hard time trusting other people in your future relationships. The job of the subconscious is self-preservation. If an experience or series of experiences has taught you something about the world, your subconscious is going to apply what it's taught you to other situations as well. Now, trauma can also inform our identity. We may see ourselves as somehow flawed or responsible or shameful or guilty or bad. It can change how we look at ourselves. And again, once that's imprinted into the subconscious, we're going to carry that feeling forward. We may have all kinds of evidence that we are decent people, that we're doing good in the world, that other people like us. But if we've got some feeling of shame or guilt left over from some traumatic experience, that's going to override any of the positive things that people say to us or about us. We're still going to have that feeling like there's something wrong with us. It can also inform our identity in other ways. If I was abused, I might become a people pleaser in order to avoid future abuse. And again, this is just the subconscious trying to help out. If I can figure out what other people need me to be or want me to be in order for me to be safe, once I've figured out what that is, then I'll continue to be that in order to make myself safe in other situations. This can also lead to things like perfectionism. So here's how this works. Somebody in my environment is abusive to me. I feel like it's somehow my fault. So I need to figure out how to be better, how to do more, how to be something that will keep them from abusing me. So I strive and I, you know, get great grades in school and I become an athlete and I'm a great artist or all of these things. I'm really trying to be my best version of myself, but that person is still abusive to me because it never had anything to do with me. It had to do with them. So now I've got to try even harder. I've got to get even better grades. I've got to be an even better athlete. I've got to be an even better artist. I've got to be the most perfect version of myself so that I can protect myself. And so our trauma informs our identity. We might become the people pleaser. We might become the perfectionist. We might become silent. Maybe we learn through our experiences that if I fade into the background, I'm less likely to be attacked. If I'm not putting myself out there and making myself visible, then I can remain safe. It might cause us to gain weight. I get a lot of clients who have come to me for weight loss who, when we look at what's underlying their weight loss, it goes back to some kind of sexual abuse. Remember, the job of the subconscious is self-preservation. If the subconscious thinks, well, if I'm slim, I'm going to attract unwanted sexual attention, and I definitely don't want that to happen, then putting on weight can be a great way to avoid being re-traumatized. So we can learn what it is we need to be through our traumatic experiences. Now, the traumatic experiences that we have can also cause us to pick up coping mechanisms. People are kind of funny. We like to feel good. We don't like to feel bad. So if we feel bad, we try to not feel what we're feeling or feel something different. So if I'm in pain, I'm going to try to find some way to not be in pain. I might use alcohol or drugs or overworking or sex or numbing myself one way or the other to either suppress or avoid or distract myself away from what I'm feeling. And so our trauma shapes our behavior. We might engage in certain behaviors because of our trauma as well. For example, we might engage in repetition compulsion, which is a phenomena where people repeat the types of experiences that they've had because on some level they're trying to resolve it or heal it or work through it. And so a person can repeat a pattern. They can repeat a version of what they experienced before. If I was neglected growing up, I might be attracted to relationships where I'll be neglected because there's some part of me trying to resolve it. I couldn't repair it or resolve it back then, and so I'm finding other situations or other relationships where hopefully I'll have the opportunity to do so. Now, I want to emphasize that all of this happens unconsciously. People aren't purposely going out there looking for neglectful partners so that they can somehow repair what happened in the past. It happens without their conscious awareness. A person might also repeat patterns because they feel familiar. If I had an abusive parent, that type of love is sort of imprinted into my psyche. I might be attracted to people who have the tendency to be abusive because my mind goes, oh, that's familiar. That's what love feels like. And so our trauma can shape our choices. It can shape our behavior. Or maybe we do things like avoid people or even develop social phobia because our trauma teaches us that people are unsafe, so we gotta avoid being hurt again. Maybe we decide that we're not going to have kids because we're afraid that we won't be able to protect them if we weren't protected ourselves. And so there may be all kinds of choices that we're making, either consciously or unconsciously, in reaction to the trauma that we've experienced. And again, our trauma can impact on us by causing us to become vigilant. The subconscious is all about self-preservation. If we have had an experience of trauma earlier on in our lives, the subconscious doesn't know that it's not going to happen again. And so it flicks on that fight-flight response, better to err on the side of caution, better have that vigilance response going on than to risk being hurt again. And of course, when we experience the fight-flight response for any length of time, that can affect us in a number of different ways as well. We can experience things like digestive issues or difficulty focusing or a startle reflex that's off the charts. We might be highly attuned to other people and their energy, so therefore we're easily drained because we're so porous or empathic. And so my point is, there are a lot of different ways that our trauma shapes us, that our trauma impacts on us. And that's what I'm working on when I'm working with somebody on trauma, not in trauma, during hypnosis. So these are all things that I can help the client to resolve. What I'm doing with a client when I'm working with them on trauma is I'm looking at all of the ways that that trauma has impacted on them, and I'm helping to remove the impact. So I'm helping that client to feel safe. I'm helping to relieve any guilt or shame or feelings of being at fault or being unworthy or unlovable or whatever belief system they might have about themselves that is interfering with their progress in life. I'm also working on changing the belief system that they might have about other people or about the world. Now, I can't put somebody in hypnosis and say, you know, everybody will always treat you kindly and with respect, because I don't know that. But I can talk to the client in hypnosis about trusting themselves to handle things that happen in their lives, not having to be hypervigilant, not kind of overlapping past experience onto current experience. So just because somebody's harmed you in the past doesn't mean that everybody who comes into your life now is untrustworthy. So I can help a person to shift the beliefs that they have picked up as a result of whatever their traumatic experience was, so that they no longer hold beliefs that are interfering with their progress, their happiness, their health, that sort of thing. I can help the client to get rid of any of those parts of their identity that are a product of the trauma they've experienced. So, for example, if the person has become silent or a perfectionist or a people pleaser, or they, again, have some feeling about themselves like they're shameful or guilty or wrong or bad, those are things that I can help the person to adjust and to let go of in hypnosis as well. If the client has picked up any negative coping mechanism as a result of some trauma, some way of mitigating or numbing their pain, I can help them with that coping mechanism. And I can also help them with any repetition compulsion or any unhealthy behaviors that they're engaging in that are a product of having had the trauma. And of course, we can deal with that hypervigilant response as well. I can help kind of calm the nervous system, help the person to be more present and in the moment instead of anticipating danger all of the time. And so I hope this gives kind of a sense of what I would be doing with somebody who has had a traumatic experience. Again, I'm not taking them into the experience to relive it as a way of discharging whatever emotion there is around it. I'm working with them. It's important for me to know what happened, because by knowing what happened, I can understand how that experience has shaped their belief systems, their behaviors, their coping mechanisms, their feelings about themselves, all of that. And then it's those pieces that we're working on in hypnosis. So if you're interested in working through something that you've experienced, give me a call. You can contact me at 250-382-2485. You can email me at info@yourauthenticself.ca. And if you're interested in hypnotherapy training, I have both a self-paced program where you can go through the materials on your own and then submit videos to me for assessment and feedback, as well as an interactive online program. The online program, we meet one weekend a month for a year via Zoom. It's a classroom online, so you're going to be practicing on your classmates. You'll be receiving hypnosis sessions. I'll do practices and demonstrations and exercises with you to help you to really integrate the material. If you'd like more information about the training, you can use the contact information I just gave you to get a hold of me, or you can check out my website at horizoncenterhypnotherapy.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a wonderful rest of the day.
Okay, take one. With corrections, with Campbell. With Campbell. Campbell. Okay. Get your black belt in all things hypnotherapy and blah, blah, blah.